This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, opportunities lie ahead for the use of technology in agriculture. That was the story Rob Dongoski shared yesterday at a St. Louis Agribusiness Club meeting. Rob is originally from Decatur, but now lives in Chicago and serves as the global agribusiness leader for Ernst & Young. Rob's presentation focused on big data, and we talked about where we are currently, opportunities, and the future for data in agriculture.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I run a group that gets involved in all facets of agriculture, whether it's on the plant side or the animal side. We do that globally across the world in major producing regions and also in the emerging markets like Africa and Southeast Asia as well. Personally, I spend most of my time in the strategy, M&A, and digital innovation spaces.
So it's pretty amazing, a global company. So you work with a lot of people, as you said, all over the world. And I assume you get a chance to work with a lot of farmers, too.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time in the growers and producer populations. You know, frankly, most of our work is business to business. And so we're really trying to help the businesses that serve growers more than directly with growers. But in different parts of the world, growers, you know, can be very large environments. In the Ukraine, you could be talking about 250,000 acres under management. So we do spend a lot of time with growers as well.
Well, something in your presentation today, we're talking about big data. And I guess the first question is for you to find maybe where we're at currently with that. We know that there is a ton of it out there for farmers. They're collecting data on yield monitors, planting data, all sorts of things. So what does that mean for you in your position, or maybe give us an overview of where we're at currently?
Yeah, we're looking at it from a couple fronts. So one is, you know, how can growers take better advantage of the data they are collecting, as you mentioned, whether it's, you know, through sensors or their yield monitors or drones or wherever they're getting the data. But then we're also looking for businesses to say, how can they, you know, take advantage of that data to serve their customers better, you know, so their growers. And then thirdly, we're helping a lot of the investments going into the ag tech market on what are the right investments. You know, what solutions do farmers really value, and how do you make the most, you know, value out of those investments?
So what opportunities, I guess, lie ahead for ag businesses with this data, or what are the conversations that you're having right now?
Yeah, they come in a number of fronts. And so, you know, there's, you know, better ways to price to the customers. There's better ways to, you know, potentially serve the customers, give them better insight into how their seeds or their chemicals will react in their fields better. You know, just better analytics on how to serve the customers better on, you know, are we bringing the right products to the right markets? So there's just a host of many, many opportunities out there.
And I imagine those conversations you're having are constantly changing because technology's changing. We're developing a lot in agriculture, and it's pretty amazing what farmers can do now compared to 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I think we're starting to see, you know, some early stage companies have, you know, kind of, you know, stirred the pot, if you will, and kind of gotten a lot of excitement out there. And I think now we're starting to see some of the big players, you know, the big technology players wake up and say ag is important, and, you know, what are they going to do for ag? You know, so I look at something like Microsoft, which just announced Farm Beats, which is kind of the heartbeat on the farm. You know, Microsoft also announced TV White Space, which is, you know, taking unused TV spectrum for rural broadband use. So, you know, I think the big tech companies are saying, how can we get involved and bring, you know, big solutions to the market?
And I would say that's a good thing. Working together, ag businesses, farmers, there's some opportunities that haven't been opportunities for growth, I guess I would say.
No, absolutely. And you know, we sit in the U.S., so we've got one view on it, but you go to, you know, sub-Saharan Africa and places, you know, there that are, you know, still emerging where they may be getting 10% of the yield potential of a seed, and, you know, with right education, irrigation techniques, and other things, they could, you know, really double their yields and frankly move away from just feeding their family to having a profitable farm.
That's really interesting. Not something that I thought of, but when you're a global business, so you're right, countries aren't the same as how we operate in the U.S., so I'm sure you're seeing a lot of different facets of agriculture and a lot of different ways that businesses run and how they do things based on the culture that they're in.
No, absolutely. And even if you've produced more than you can, you know, consume, getting it to somebody else who can actually buy it that's in deficit is not easy. You know, they have infrastructure challenges, they've got security challenges, regulatory challenges. So there's a lot of things that, you know, we take for granted that's been, you know, solved in the U.S. farming environments that are still a big struggle in different parts of the world.
So I guess looking ahead, all things that you've addressed in your speech today, what is the road ahead looking like for big data in ag and these ag businesses?
Yeah, I think we've just seen the very tip of it. I mean, I think there's a, you know, once we can get the data in and we can get it normalized and people can figure out what to do with it, then I can start to really bring in some insights. Seed companies can provide algorithms to the data to say, here's how you, you know, here's how you could best optimize the seed that you're investing in. And then, you know, ultimately there can be some emerging markets that see opportunities to use data and leapfrog where they're at. You know, we saw that in the mobile phone technologies in Africa, as an example. They never installed landlines. They went right to mobile phones. I think there's going to be some similar opportunities in the ag space.
Rob Dongoski, Global Agribusiness Leader for Ernst & Young, and we'll have more ag news in just a moment. Hurricane Irma shut down ports and meat plants in Florida and Georgia this week. Tyson Foods suspended operations at 3 chicken processing plants in Georgia and a beef facility in Florida to start the week. The port of Savannah, Georgia was closed Monday and Tuesday. The port's home to almost one-third of all U.S. poultry exports, according to Reuters. Meanwhile, as Florida farmers begin to assess damage from the storm, the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association says early reports from orange growers have found fruit removed from trees and covering the ground. Oranges knocked to the ground can't be consumed. In southern Florida, heavy rain also flooded orange groves, forcing growers to pump out standing water to reduce the risk of disease hurting trees. Florida is ranked first among U.S. states in production value for oranges, and in 2015 produced $1.17 billion worth of the fruit, accounting for 60% of the value of total U.S. orange production. The state is also a major producer of tomatoes and sugar cane. Well, trade leaders from South Korea are asking for a step-by-step approach to the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement. Following last week's discussion on terminating the agreement by President Trump, Korea says let's go step-by-step rather than just jumping the gun. It's possible Trump could seek to renegotiate the trade deal, like his move regarding the North American Free Trade Agreement, but the administration would have to notify Congress before doing so. Cabinet members, including Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, briefed the White House last week on the implications of withdrawing from the agreement. Further, former House Speaker John Boehner said withdrawing from the agreement would do more harm than good. Boehner helped ratify the agreement in 2011 and told Politico that we must renew and strengthen our relationships in the Pacific region, not just with South Korea, but with China, instead of withdrawing from the trade deals. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.
Thank you.